So today we're going to talk about the surveillance data platform and the shared services it provides. So the surveillance data platform was really sort of, it was born out of the CDC surveillance strategy. The surveillance strategy itself actually looked first at surveillance challenges, the proliferation of surveillance systems within the agency, the silos that those systems have created over time, how do we leverage and then how do we apply innovation and resources to help break down those silos and provide data more quickly and more efficiently to the CDC programs, and then onward to the calls for enhancement. The congressional budget language actually identified cloud-based and flexible IT data reporting platforms for CDC programs and the need to innovate in our surveillance activities in that manner. The CST-specific guidance asked for basically a true need for surveillance to coordinate across CDC programs to help standardize those data elements. CDC director advisory committees were held and charged the Office of Public Health Scientific Services.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. That's better. To lead the CDC surveillance strategy. So from that, the surveillance strategy was born. The initiatives really that addressed what the SDP is now actually in charge of dealing with were mortality statistics, electronic death reporting, lab reporting, syndromic surveillance, and notifiable disease electronic reporting. And so the SDP was born. So we have a platform, so we had to create a collaborative vision of what we can see as a notional surveillance data flow. So if you look from left to right, you can see the health data networks exchange data with our health partners. The health data networks include healthcare providers, laboratories, public health partners, including APHL, CSTE, ASTA, and NACHO, propagate and move data to community platforms that are already in existence, things such as the AIMS Hub, the public health community platform, health information exchanges, and so forth. And then from there, that's where the surveillance data platform with its shared services, as you see at each phase of this data flow, can help assist and accelerate that data exchange. And so, again, also to our internal agency, help public health program systems get to their data quicker and with more efficiency. So what is the vision? So the vision, like we just saw in the data flow, is to quickly and more efficiently exchange data to provide the services necessary to create the tool sets that will help drive public health action and get to more actionable public health information for our agency and our partners. The mission is pretty clear. We identified the fact that we need to remove unnecessary burden on internal and external partners that are using these services. Again, with improvements in efficiency in data services, we would hope that this would enhance the ability to collect, prepare, analyze, and share data throughout the whole data collection spectrum. The objectives, as stated earlier, again, we wanted to build a secure, cloud-based integrated surveillance platform that would have the capability to provide an end-to-end surveillance system or collection of systems that would address the data needs for our programs and our partners. So this is the model, the shared services concept model. So our partners, as you see on the left, state, CDC, labs, healthcare, public and public health partners, integrate or involved in each phase of this data lifecycle, the collection, the parsing, the preparation, provision, and the analysis and sharing of data. SDP would provide services at each phase, but at the core, you see in orange, there would be metadata services that would provide privacy, security, and cataloging of information as it proceeds from each part of this sort of life cycle. Again, data collection services, data parsing, provisioning services, analytics, visualization, and then dissemination and data sharing would be at the last phase of the service life cycle. So once we started, again, this started again early last spring, but we had a landscape analysis that helped inform each one of the phased approach. And again, all four of these phased approaches really adopt the mantra of reuse, buy, and build. And so the goal here was in phase one, which is going to conclude at the end of August, was to the most pressing need from our informaticians, administrators, our data scientists, and our EPIs, was to alleviate the time it takes for EPIs to receive and actually clean the data that they get in from the states. So routing and vocabulary were at the top of the services list, including transformation, message validation, and secure data exchange. Once we remove the logjam of data coming into the platform, phase two will look at repetitive analysis and visualization services, metrics, performance indicators, visualization. How do we store reference data, and how do we disseminate that data as a repository and a registry and catalog it appropriately? Phase three was to create and look at the gaps so that we can create an end-to-end surveillance services that could be used completely by our programs and partners. So, and phase four was to invest in innovation, so looking at the future of some services such as natural language processing, machine learning, and open source SDKs. So, again, what STP is really trying to do, if you look on the left, that's a picture of an injection mold process. So, that's great when you have one problem that's static. You need to create a system or an implementation that can address that and then be reused over and over again. However, everyone in this room knows how the dynamic nature of surveillance needs change from literally year to year, and so the shared services vision looks at it as almost like a Lego implementation where we can reconfigure services to address the program's dynamic needs from a surveillance perspective and make sure that they have the option to reconfigure the services at any point in time that they see fit. So the phase one service selection process, this was very extensive. So again, I mentioned early spring this started. The platform working group one categorized 28 high priority shared services into four tiers. The landscape analysis that I mentioned before, which went all, it was cross-cutting. There were over, I believe, 90 individuals interviewed from all the centers within the agency that were done with deep dives, and they helped refine sort of that list of services to start prioritizing them. The service selections process started, by which we looked at several key metrics, the potential impact of the service, cost of implementation, what the timeline would be to production of the service, scalability, and then what would be the EPI visibility. How would this impact the day-to-day lives of our epidemiologists here at the agency? And then working in the platform, working group two, reviewed and approved the subgroup recommendations, and two services were selected for phase one, one being vocabulary. We wanted to create a services where epidemiologists can come together, create vocabulary content in the form of questions, pairing those questions to response sets, putting those questions and response sets onto forms and creating surveys so they can be deployed in the field, and then content-based routing, which really helps provide the ability to route incoming data, HL7 reportable condition data from NNDSS, again, to programs that need the information that have specific needs for the programs. So this is the Service One vocabulary. This is a sort of a new notional diagram. If you look at the top left, you'll see that there's little icons that represent keywords that actually identify the user can attach to the question that they create. Then that question is associated in the next step with a response set. Those response sets can be created within the service, or they can be pulled dynamically from FinVADs or other public health repositories that hold standardized code sets and value sets. Those questions and response sets are then aggregated onto forms, as you see as you move across the diagram, and then from there they can go into a survey that can contain multiple forms, and from that standpoint, the service can then hand off that survey to a data collection instrument so that it can be deployed in the field and collect the data. Service number two, this is the content-based routing service. So moving left to right, you see that you have a public health surveillance information system at the state level or public health partner level where they send us an HL7 case notification message. That message is secured to us by either a FinMS transport or a SAM secure FT transport for the payload. And then the content-based routing service really looks at the header of the message and the payload and then decides on where it needs to go, based if it needs to go to MVPS or to the AIMS hub where one of our principal pioneer partners, EIP, stores their food net repository of data. So it reduces the burden on the states to actually send one message instead of two to move that data across. And so that's really the goal of what content-based routing is accomplishing in this iteration. So again, we welcome your input. One of the things that we're, as we move and close out phase one, we're looking to, again, to expand and actually include more state partners in our work and look at our services and how they can be applied in the state background. So again, this is a key part of CDC's comprehensive surveillance strategy. I know there's a 2.0 version of that being done now, and the SDP is at the core of that. The SDP, again, is a secure, scalable, open source, cloud-based platform for shared services that are open and available to anyone from a state perspective, federal entity, it does not matter. And we always welcome your insights. We're actually going to be at the June APHL conference. So if you're there, look us up. We'll have a poster there for similar content that you've seen here. And that's it. So if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. I'm here. And then send me an email, and we look forward to talking to you more about how these services can be put to good use in the states. Thanks.
Great presentation. Very interesting, exciting stuff.
It is.
CDC. Time for a couple questions.
Amanda Santander, Tennessee. That vocabulary tool, is that just internal or is it available to jurisdictions?
No, it's a good question. We work with EIP and they're actually identifying state collaborators that can actually use the tool. It is a publicly facing website, and so that's what we're in the process of now identifying what are the use cases for the states as opposed to our federal partners and how they would be able to use it. So that's a big reason why we're here, because we want to hear and understand how you would actually use that tool at a state level. Yep.
I'm Murray, California, and this is a little over my head. But
sure.
So my question is really, when will we be able to not have to double data enter data that's already in a NEDS compliant system into another system?
It's a good question. Content-based routing is actually slated to go live at the end of August. And so we want to apply. It has one specific use case. It's now looking at FoodNet data and actually making sure that's bifurcated from one HL7 message. But the business rules logic and how this can be applied to any payload from any sort of message. So we would hope that we could expand the use of it beyond that initial use case.
Hi, I'm a public health lawyer, and we lawyers usually like silos because every registry, every surveillance system is governed by its own law.
Correct.
And so permissible uses, how you define de-identification, blah, 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 all change depending on the information and the data elements.
Correct.
Do you work with lawyers, or how are lawyers involved in navigating shared services and recognizing the zillions of laws and all the different standards?
We do. We have an internal office that actually looks at the implications of what the services are and how, if we are another security implementation at CDC, looks at how services are, how do they collect PII and how that PII is disseminated over the service. So we do continually reference our internal resources legally to make sure that what we're doing from a state perspective, sharing data, making sure the data is secure, is kind of paramount. It's at the core of services, if you remember the concept model. That's a continual discussion that's ongoing. So.